You are listening to Words from the Servants, a podcast produced by the Servants of the Word, an international ecumenical brotherhood of men living single for the Lord. You can download this podcast from our website or access it on iTunes or any other podcasting apps.
So brothers, it should come as no shock that I'm going to speak to us from a leading passage in the letter to the Hebrews. Just as our meditations on the 40 days were shaped by our Exodus meditation, I think the Nico's presentation on Friday, mine here today, is also drawing from Hebrews. It makes sense. That's what we've been meditating on. And just to let you know, let the cat out of the bag, the title of this is called Delivered from the Fear of Death. And my starting point is a challenging passage from Hebrews chapter 2 that goes like this. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. Now if you find that a grammatically challenging verse, please join the club. It's the kind of sentence that you need to diagram to figure out who's doing what to whom and what's happening. It's not an easy passage to disentangle. So what can we draw from it? First, the eternal Son took on our nature and went to his death so that by means of that death, paradoxically, he would destroy the devil and his power. And it was the devil, we're told, who held the power of death. The result is of this, that Christ has delivered us all, the whole human race, all those who respond to him, obviously. He's delivered us who were held in lifelong bondage through the fear of death. We were in lifelong bondage through the fear of death. To sum that up, by means of his death, Christ has destroyed the one who held the power of death and has so delivered us from lifelong slavery to the fear of death. What captures my attention, and I don't think this is the first time we've looked at this, is the phrase the fear of death. Why mention that? What's that doing here? Why not just say that Christ has overcome the power of death, kind of over objectively just defeated death? That's it. Good enough. Why not just end there? By dying and rising again, death is destroyed, which is true. Why mention our being captive to the fear of death? So that's what I'd like to address today. How Christ in his death and resurrection has in fact delivered us from our slavery to the fear of death by giving us a hope that is secure beyond the grave. And before I get there, just so you see, I want to fill in the space a bit before I get to the main point, by just giving a litany of how Christ has overcome death and its reign. So let's just review what we already know. We know, first of all, that Christ has destroyed death and its power over the human race. Death no longer has a grip on us, and God will, through Christ, raise all from the dead and bring all into judgment. 1 Corinthians 15. Then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Then again in John 5, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Jesus has power over death. He commands death to give up its dead. Secondly, we know that death once reigned over us, but now in Christ, life reigns in us. That's really good news. Death reigned over us, now Christ reigns over us. Now life reigns over us. I believe John might have read part of this passage. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Death reigned, and now we reign in life. That's really good news through what Christ has done. Thirdly, we know that even now we live in Christ, and we possess a firm hope and confidence that we too will rise from the dead. It's not just that Christ has defeated death in some abstract way and that somehow we have life now. We also have the promise, the sure promise, that as we are in Christ, we also at one point and one time will rise from the dead. Romans 6:5. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united in a resurrection like his. Further on in Romans 8. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we await our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. It's a really interesting passage. Our full adoption won't be complete until our bodies are redeemed. We've been adopted as sons, but according to Romans, not fully. We don't experience the fullness of that adoption until we also will share in the resurrection of the body. Finally, we know that we're not meant to grieve for the dead as others do, but are called to grieve with firm confidence that the faithful will rise again to new life. So we have a new relationship with others dying. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who've fallen asleep. Don't grieve as others do. So in this life, in the face of death, we have a different relationship with death. We don't grieve as those who have no hope, but we grieve as those who know that Christ has conquered death. So to sum it up, the Lord has delivered us from death. By dying and rising, he conquered death for himself and now lives, according to Hebrews, an indestructible life. But he's also conquered death for us. He's conquered death for himself, but he's conquered death. It's not like just great, glad that he made it. We're still here. But he's conquered death for us. We now experience that life. Life reigns in us. We have the sure confidence of that resurrection when our full adoption will be complete. With that litany, you know, it would have been enough for us. That's more than enough. It's more than we could have expected. And each one of those could deserve a great elaboration. But I wanted to sum that up in talking about Christ's victory over death in order to now focus in and say, and what about this little phrase on the fear of death? What's going on there? Why is this also there? And what sense might that make? What might it mean that we have been delivered from a lifelong slavery or bondage to the fear of death? That's been on my mind a good bit lately, in part because, again, quite recently, during a prayer meeting, I had another prompting, quite a strong prophetic prompting, which I've gotten one or two times before, that the Lord wants to deliver us really from the fear of death, and that's very important for us being able to witness to what he wants us to do, and that we're not simply free of the fear of death. And so I carry a kind of prophetic conviction that the Lord wants to bring us to that place. So that's why I want to pursue it in this passage in Hebrews and say, well, it says we've been delivered from a lifelong bondage to fear of death. What does that mean? So what I want to do, if you'll, you know, walk with me a little bit, is ask the question, what is the fear of death that Hebrews is getting at that the passage doesn't say? There's no footnote. It says, by the way, by fear of death I mean, it just says he delivers from the fear of death. What's being gotten at here? How can we pinpoint its meaning to some degree? So let me put some candidates forward that sometimes I think people see as what fear of death is. Sometimes people are afraid of death because they're deeply anxious about what will happen once they die to what they've left behind, their family, their friends, work that's undone. Like they're nervous mostly about death. What really occupies them or preoccupies them is, if I die, what's going to happen to my wife, my kids, my work, this thing I've started? And so their main relationship existentially to death is, I'm afraid for what I'll leave behind. I think that works maybe on all of us, but I think it works quite strongly on some people, especially for parents with young children. This is a very real and powerful fear that we have to deal with. What's going to happen if I suddenly die? What's going to happen to things I'm responsible for? But I would say that at root, this is This isn't really fundamentally a fear of death. It's a fear of what will happen if I die, about anxieties for this life. It's actually a kind of a subcategory of being anxious for things about this life. That's what's really going on there. So while it's connected to death, I don't think it's what Hebrews is getting at. Sometimes people will say, I'm not afraid of death, I'm afraid of dying. You ever heard that? After I gave this prophetic sense in the prayer meeting, a woman grabbed me from the prayer meeting and said, just want you to know, I really appreciate that, and said, you know, I'm not so much afraid of death as I'm afraid of dying. I'm afraid of the process of dying. I'm afraid of going through the suffering and anguish, the kind of debilitation that comes, that often and usually accompanies the process of death. Now, I'd say, I think this is a very real fear, but at root it's really a fear of suffering, not as much a fear of death. If you think about it, for many people, the greatest suffering they might go through is around the time of their death, but for many people, that's not true. Could well be Ed's going to go to his maker with a lot less pain than he just had in the last few months. His greatest suffering might have been what he already went through. In fact, for a lot of people, death is a release from suffering. They want to die. I want to get out of this suffering. So I think it's a very real thing that accompanies death. It may be a part of it in some way, but I don't think this is what Hebrews is getting at. It's not mainly a fear of suffering, which can happen any time in life. I think the fear of death is something a bit more profound and unique than just a form of very difficult suffering. Well, another great candidate for the fear of death is fear of what will follow after death. That is, judgment for how we've lived. And I believe this is actually a part of the fear of death. It's not all of it, but I think it's actually a part of it. Scripture teaches that even as Christians, we're meant to be very sober-minded and walk, as 1 Peter says, in the fear of the Lord in regard to the fact that we will come before the judgment seat of Christ. So, I mean, this is even true for Christians. It's not like we get a pass because we're in Christ. There's the very real fact that, my gosh, once I die, that's it. You know, I mean, the episode of my life is done. I'm going to have to face the Lord. That's a sobering thought that is connected, I think, to death and can be a part of the fear of death. And I think especially for those that don't know the Lord and His mercy, but know that there's a God who judges, this is really terror-inspiring. I know I'm going to have to give an account and I don't know this God. And in many ways, I think many of the religions of the world are designed to handle this kind of fear of what might happen when I die. How do I take care of things so that when I die, it'll go okay and I won't kind of get nailed for not having done all that I should have. So I think this is a part of the fear of death, judgment after death. But as I was talking last night with one of the brothers at the Seder, we got talking about the subject and we agreed that for modern people, this is hardly a reality at all. I mean, I'm sure it is for some, but we've managed to banish this somehow in a perverse way that there's not much fear of, I'm going to have to give an account to anybody. Even if I think there is a God, I'm sure He's going to be gracious and forgive me no matter what I did anyway. But I probably don't believe in a God anyway. And so a fear of judgment is not the predominant fear of death that I think strikes us today. It may have been much more in the past. It may strike some people today. I think it's a very real part of the fear of death, but I don't think it's that common today. It's not the main thing we run up against. So what's at the core of the fear of death? And I find it a bit hard to put into exact words, but I would describe it as something like the fear of death at its core is the fear of personal extinction, of personal annihilation. The nearness of death at every point in life, it's not like death is way out in front of us. I mean, it might be, but it might be right here. It might be the window I'm going to pass. You know, it could be 50 years away. It could be 50 minutes away. We don't know when it's going to strike. It shows that life is fragile, tentative, could be snuffed out like a candle at any moment. And then all is over and the curtain comes down. And every once in a while, I don't know how to say it, but I get almost like all my barriers are down and I sort of see death for what it is. And it's just complete. You know, it's like everything's done, and it's like terrorizing. It's like, oh, my gosh. There's nothing at the other side of that. in just in terms of this life. In terms of this life, it's just done. There's not a tomorrow, there's no more hopes, there's no more plans, there's no more second chance. Everything is done. When death strikes, it's just over for that person. Human beings, we deeply want to live. We want to continue to live, and we want to continue to thrive. Death looms as the sort of unanswerable negation of that great desire. I really want to live, and there's death, and I cannot evade it. No matter what I try to do, no matter how much I hang on to it, it's going to find me. And at some point, it's going to strike me. And the life I have, which is all I know, is going to be gone. It will be extinct. And so we cling to life as long as possible, deeply afraid to let go. So what's the fear of death? Well, I think it's a complex thing. But I think these last two get at the core of it. Fear of judgment after death, but also that fear that I think you see in the New Testament where the only promise that came was a kind of shadowy non-existence in a place called Sheol, which was almost no existence at all. That's what I'm facing. And I think you see a little of this in the book of Ecclesiastes, because the consequence of that view is that because of death being an end to everything, what's the meaning of life? Why do anything? What does anything matter if it's all going to come crashing down? Why build my barns and store my crops, or even store them for someone else when it's all going to end? When it's all going to end in a great conflagration and there's nothing left, but some shadowy existence maybe of Sheol, or even worse, a burning hell, you know, whatever you want to choose, it's a fearful prospect. And so Hebrews, I think, is getting at a very real thing in the human race, that we were subject to a lifelong bondage to the fear of death. And what Christ has done in his death is he's destroyed the power of him who held that power of death, but also delivered us from our fear, our lifelong bondage to the fear of death. We were just hearing, I think, from Ted about his pastor speaking of 1 Corinthians 15. This came to me as well. This is why Paul, I think, can say, if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, your faith is in vain. Life is meaningless. If for this life only we've hoped in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. We're still under the fear of death. It hasn't been broken if he's not been raised from the dead. And, you know, with Ted's pastor. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, thank God. And we're no longer subject to the fear of death. We're no longer subject to death, but we're also no longer subject to the fear of death. So I want to end by a little short exhortation. And that exhortation is to receive the hope of the resurrection. To receive the hope of the resurrection. To cast off any lingering fear of death, whatever that might be. Whatever part of that might work on you or be particularly fearful for you, commend that to the Lord and enter into the hope of eternal life and overcome the fear of death, from which we have in fact been delivered. We can now say with Peter, therefore let those who suffer according to God's will do right and entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. If we're afraid of death, we are hindered in the ability to really give our lives away. This is one of my deep convictions. That in some way, a lingering fear of death actually makes us unable to fully, simply give our lives away. Day by day, but also at a crucial moment that might say, my life's gone, that's it, I'm giving it away right here, it's done. We'd be free to do that because we're no longer under the fear of death. We can suffer according to God's will and entrust our souls to a faithful Creator because we have the hope of the resurrection sure in us. We can now rejoice with John, the author of Revelation, when he says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord henceforth. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. For those who are in the Lord, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. We don't need to fear death or its process or its prospects or its circumstances. This we can entrust to a faithful Creator. We can now join heartily with Paul when he confesses, It is my eager expectation and hope that I shall not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, may that be true for us, not just an inspiring passage in Paul that we quote and get inspired by on occasion, but that we might be able to say with Paul, whether by life or death, I want to give my life away. And for me, to live is really Christ. It's not a life apart from, it's not something I'm holding on to that I'm hoping God will give me. My life is Christ. And therefore, to die is gain because I'm in Him, and that's my true life. So in short, brothers, Christ has not only delivered us from death and its power, which He has, thank God, but also He's delivered us from the fear of death and our lifelong bondage to the fear of death. Let's embrace that deliverance. Let's cast off whatever fear might be there, and let's firmly be gripped by the hope of the resurrection in Christ and the freedom of the sons of God that this brings. Amen.
This podcast was produced by the Servants of the Word, a brotherhood of celibate men that is part of the Sword of the Spirit, an international ecumenical network of covenant communities. If you would like to support this and other ventures, simply go to www.servantsoftheword.org/donate.